Welcome to Pursuit Church Podcast, where we give those far from God the opportunity to pursue Christ. We are so glad you are here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe God has a word for you through today's message.
Before you're seated this morning, church, I want to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, starting with verse 7. He might be asleep, but I was about to say, if you hear a very spontaneous scream out of nowhere, it probably is my son. He's trying to learn his voice, and sometimes it seems to come out of, you know, the most quiet moments, and that just so don't let it catch you off guard if we're real quiet and you hear that scream. We're hoping he finds his voice soon. Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me, tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. This morning, I want to simply speak on the subject, this is your moment. You may be seated. I've been wanting to preach things about the end times and the book of Daniel and book of Revelation, and I'd prepared a lot, and I went a different route. God gave me a different message. I guess it's a different priority, but soon here, because I know it interests a lot of people and it's important because we're living in the last days, church. Soon here, I'll be teaching on some end time things, and it's very interesting and an eye-opener. And I believe it's important because we really are living in the last days. Now, today in our scripture, the author of Hebrews continues to put emphasis on this one word, which is today. Today, if you will hear his voice, but exhort one another daily while it is still called today. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He never says anything about tomorrow, but only today. The importance is not on tomorrow, but today. Today, if you will hear his voice. In other words, there is nothing more important than what we do today. Today is the day. Today is our moment. This week, I was thinking about how there are times and moments in history in which eternity becomes much more populated. Just recently, if you heard about it on the news, there was an earthquake in Turkey and some parts of Syria. It's caused over 40,000 deaths. I think that they're still counting, so it's still rising. And in fact, I heard a story last night about how they had just found a man in the rubble underneath it. He had been underneath there for 11 days. And he was still alive, and they had a video of him calling his family, and his wife had actually had a child the day before, and so he was ready and excited. This man, who they thought was dead, wanted to go see his 12-day-year-old daughter. Wow. And so they're still finding some people, but it has caused over 40,000 deaths, and that's a big loss of life in just a matter of hours and days. But these things do happen. It wasn't the first earthquake. It won't be the last earthquake. And there have been many events throughout history that have caused an enormous amount of deaths that have greatly populated, if you will, eternity. And we don't know exactly how it all works when we enter that eternal state. But in my imagination, again, this is just my imagination, you can take it or leave it, but when something that disastrous happens and many lives are lost, I imagine as these people die and they're about to enter eternity and they're about to be directed to a place called heaven or hell. I imagine that it's so many people sometimes at one time in some cases that they wait in a line. This is in my imagination. And they wait in this line, and it's in this line that they're waiting to enter eternity. And they begin to ask themselves, did I do all that I wanted to do? Did I do everything that I needed to do? Did I do all that I was called to do? And obviously at that point, they know where they are going. They know what's ahead of them, a place of paradise or a place of torment. But I have to imagine that there is this moment in which they reminisce and things slow down and they begin to collect their thoughts. Did I do what I was supposed to do? Did I live a life worthy of the calling of Christ? Did I listen to the Lord in my life? For some people, I suppose that this will be the very first time that things have really slowed down for them in years. This will be the first time for some people to actually take the moment and gather their thoughts and look back and really, truly dwell on the life that they lived. Now, with that being said, I believe it's human nature to want to believe that we've always got more time. We tell ourselves we've still got time to do what needs to be done. We've still got time to do what the good Lord has called us to do. We've still got time to do what we know we need to do. We've got time. And so we put things off and we procrastinate and we postpone things and we'll say we'll do it tomorrow or next week or some other time because there's other things that we need to do right now. There's other things that need our focus and our attention today. And the thing about life, church, especially in the world that we're living in today, is that we are living in a very fast world. We're always so busy. If it's not work, it's school. If it's not school, it's family matters. If it's not family matters, it's distractions and TV, social media, the news, entertainment. There's always something to do. But are we really accomplishing something of importance, or are we just busy? I have to imagine somebody, even today, as they went on into eternity, quickly realized that they were just busy and concerned about things that didn't really matter too much. And as their life came to an unexpected end, they quickly realized that they had missed their moment. How easy it is, church, to miss our moment. How easy it is to overlook the importance of today, right now, this moment. How easy it is to get into a cycle or a routine in life where we're just going and doing the same things and we're worried about the same things. We're focused on the same things where days just pass by and weeks and months and years quickly pass by, not realizing nor understanding the importance of the times. All along, confident that we will probably see another day, confident that we will probably see another week, confident that we will sleep through the night, confident that there will be another tomorrow. And so were these over 40,000 something individuals who were just living their lives, going about their normal lives 2 weeks ago, when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, their life came to a dramatic halt that none of them saw coming. Before they knew what hit them, before they knew what happened, they must have been questioning, did I do what I needed to do? Did I fulfill the call upon my life? Did I store up eternal treasures, or was my life just consumed in the temporary? Did I have a real relationship with the one true God, or did I always push it off? Was I always set on thee tomorrow? Tomorrow I'll start. Tomorrow I'll begin. Tomorrow I'll get serious. Tomorrow I'll figure it out. It's the tragedy of tomorrow. I believe many people in eternity will tell the same story. I thought I had a tomorrow. I was waiting until tomorrow. Tomorrow I was going to begin. Tomorrow I was going to start. And little did they realize that they were already living in yesterday's tomorrow. And today would be the last tomorrow they would ever have. Stuck in the routine of life, consumed by the cares and concerns of this world, there was never enough tomorrows. I believe that every individual that has passed away and gone on into eternity could testify of this one thing. There was never enough tomorrows. I believe the lost would tell you, if I could do it all over, I would surrender that which I held on to. I believe the lost would tell you I would have gone ahead and humbled myself and forgave them while I had the chance. I would have quit holding on to the bitterness. I would have kneeled before God and given him my life. I would have given church another shot. I would have given God another chance. I would have taught my children the things of God. I would have been more careful in the way I talked and the things I watched on TV and how I spent my time and the places we went. I would have not allowed some of those things into my home and my heart. I believe that will be the story of the lost. But the saved will have a story too, I suppose, because I believe everyone will testify that there was not enough tomorrows. And I believe their story, the story of the saved, would be something like, I would have won another soul to the Lord. I would have talked to my coworkers about Jesus. I would have quit being afraid. I would have shared the gospel with a stranger. I would have spent more time praying for the lost and interceding for the lost and prayed for more people if there were just enough tomorrows. Church, don't let that be your story. Realize the importance of today. Realize that this is our moment. Today is the day. Today is yesterday's tomorrow, and another tomorrow is not promised. What a tragedy it is to miss our moment, not because we're unable or unwilling to take it, but somehow we're so caught up in some earthly thing that we do not see it. We're too busy doing something else, too distracted with something more important, too caught up in the cares of life to understand and realize that this is my moment right here, right now, and another moment may not pass me by. And the Bible says, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me and to all of the world. And the Bible says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it should not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, the Lord was saying, today is the day. Today is the moment. I've opened the door for you. Today ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Today these signs shall follow them that believe. Today in my name they shall cast out devils. Today they shall speak with new tongues. Today they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Today go into all of the parts of the world and preach the gospel. The Lord was saying today, not tomorrow, not next week, but this is our moment today. The Bible says, and the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame will leap for joy, the mute will shout, the waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Church, this is our moment. This is our day. Another moment, another day is not coming. Today is the day. And the Lord forbid that we somehow become so numb and insensible to the times, or too busy or too distracted, that we too would leave this world with that same old story. I was just waiting for another tomorrow. I was hoping for a tomorrow. My eyes were set on another tomorrow. Church, when the Lord burdens you, when He gives you a burden for the lost or a burden for a ministry or whatever it is, when He burdens you, He doesn't give you a tomorrow burden or a next week or a next year burden. Oh, He gives you a today burden. He gives you a now burden. He gives you a present burden. It starts today. I'm calling you today. Go today. Pray today. Begin today. Reach today. Seek them today. Seek me today. Today is your moment. In the beginning, before God created the earth, before He formed it, and before He fashioned the things upon the earth, what was here, the Bible says, was a dense darkness. The earth was without form and void. To the naked eye, it was just a big, dark ball of mud. It appeared to be nothing of importance, nothing of great value. To see the earth before creation, you would have never known that lying beneath the darkness, lying beneath the dirt, lying beneath the mud, was rich, rich soil. Soil sufficient to produce tomatoes and lettuce and carrots and potatoes. Seeds within that soil that could produce apple trees and cherry trees and pineapple trees. Out of that dark mud would come maple trees and white oaks and towering pine trees. Beneath that darkness was soil sufficient to produce cocoa beans and coffee beans. It was under that darkness that roses would come forth, and tulips and daisies and all these different flowers with different colors. It was in that dirt and darkness that contained gold and silver and diamonds, rubies, and all of the precious gems. It was all there, hiding underneath the darkness, not obvious to the naked eye, but it was still there, waiting for someone to move upon it, waiting for someone to order it, waiting for someone to instruct it and call it forward, waiting for someone or something to push away the darkness that was hiding it. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of God began to move on the face of the deep, and God began to instruct, and God began to order, and God began to create. And as the Spirit of God began to move upon the earth, He began to push back the darkness, and that darkness began to break, and there came life, and there came light, and there came hope, and there came peace. And what had once looked like a hopeless situation, what had once looked like chaos and darkness, was instantly church filled with promise and life and hope and peace. And birds began to fly in the sky, and fish began to swim in the waters, and dogs began to bark, and life was given to the planet Earth. And so it is with mankind today. You may feel that you have no hope. You're just looking for a better tomorrow. You're always looking for another tomorrow. Today, you look at your life, you only see darkness. Today, you look at your circumstance and you just feel discouraged. To the naked eye, it looks like you're losing. To the naked eye, nothing is going right. To the naked eye, all seems lost. Your eyes are always on a better tomorrow. But what you need today is for God to do the same thing he did at creation. And that is for him to begin to move upon your life again. Today, if you would just let him move, if you would just let him breathe upon your life again, I believe things would change in just a matter of a moment. Today is our day. Today is our moment, because as it was in the days of creation, God's spirit is still moving. God's voice is still speaking. He is still moving upon the waters. He's still moving upon the mountains. He's still moving through the valleys. And if he can bring order upon the earth, he can bring order upon your life. If he can bring peace upon the earth, church, he can bring peace upon your life. If he can move upon the earth, though once being covered in nothingness and darkness and void and no obvious potential, God can move upon you. And so before the days of creation, just give me a few more minutes. Before the days of creation, the darkness upon the earth gave an appearance of hopelessness. No value, no hope, no future. Just as it was in those days, the enemy speaks the same thing into our lives every day, saying no value, no hope, no future. Nothing good will ever come out of you. There's nothing good in you. You're covered in darkness, hopelessness, discouragement, confusion. But church, God sees underneath the darkness. God sees beneath the mess, and if we could just let him move upon our life, if we would just let him take away the darkness, if we would just let him breathe upon us, we too, I believe, could experience what I would call a Genesis moment, a moment today of new beginning, a moment of new life, a new and fresh start beginning today from this moment. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Paul said, and therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Today, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Today, all things can become new. And so it is the devil's game. It is the devil's game to keep trying to convince us to wait for another tomorrow, because he knows we will soon run out. Causing us to wait for just one more tomorrow can make all of the difference for your soul, because we will soon surely run out. And so it is no coincidence that we are living in a time in which the devil has sought out to attack our mind and to keep us occupied and busy and concerned about things that have no eternal importance. It is no coincidence that the enemy has tried to distract the world by politics and the news and technology and entertainment. He is doing everything he can. He is working so hard in hopes that the church and the saints of the living God would stay asleep and not wake up to what's really going on. And his biggest fear is that we would turn off the TV and we would shut down the computer, and we would turn off the phone, and we would spend some time on our knees praying and seeking the face of God. That's his biggest fear, that we would understand that these are the last days. Church, it's these last days that he's dead set on causing you to miss your moment. And if he knows if he can cause you to keep postponing and keep putting it off, eventually you will run out of tomorrows, and you'll find yourself in eternity like so many others, quickly realizing that you too missed your moment. Let's all stand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you will hear his voice, Do not harden your hearts. The devil is not ignorant of the days that we are living in, neither should we be. It's his every intention to cause us to miss our moment and not seize the opportunity to find ourselves in eternity with the same old story as so many others. I was hoping for another tomorrow. I was waiting until tomorrow. I was gonna begin tomorrow. I was gonna start tomorrow. I was looking for another tomorrow. Church, the only way I can promise you that you won't miss your moment is if you start today. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He is calling you today. Start today. You may have heard about it. I don't know what is all going on over there, but for the last week and a half or so, there's been a gathering of many students and other visiting people at a Christian university in, I believe it's Kentucky, a place called Asbury University. They've been calling it the Asbury Revival. I don't know what they teach. I don't know what their doctrines are or anything like that. But what I do know is that for many days and nights now, 24/7, hundreds of students have been seeking the presence of God, seeking the forgiveness of God, seeking the mercy of God, seeking the face of God. They said thousands have been lining up in the cold each night just to get into the auditorium in the morning. Young people, hungry, desperate, thirsty for the presence of God. Understanding one thing, and that thing is that they cannot wait until tomorrow. Today is the day. This is the moment. We cannot miss it. We can't put it off any longer. We've got to seek the face of God today. We've got to do everything we can today, whether it be by earthquakes, church, or by pandemics. God has tried to wake us up. God has tried to shake us. God has tried to wake up the sleeping saint. God has tried to shake the sinner. Some have given it no notice, while some have walked away from God altogether, gambling their soul, joining those who mock the coming of the Lord, saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For even since the fathers fell asleep, everything continues as it always has." But the truth of the matter is, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward every individual, not wishing that any one soul would perish, but that would come to repentance. And for those who don't heed his call and repent while the door is open, the day of the Lord will come like a thief to them, and they will be among many of those who say, "I missed my moment." Church, the Lord is pleading with us. He's coming. He's coming. His coming is near. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, cast off all of the works of darkness. Seek the Lord while he may be found.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. For more information about Pursuit, visit pursuitchurchar.com. Thank you for listening, and see you next week.